Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. We're going to begin reading of verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. This is, of course, the salutation. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, sometimes people read the Bible and they say, well, this was written to other people. It was written to those people in the church at Corinth. But if you look at the introduction here, you see that it's not only written to the church at Corinth, it's also to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. If you are one who is sanctified in Christ Jesus, then this letter is for you. It's also written to those that are called to be saints. So if you are called to be a saint of God through Jesus Christ, this letter is also written to you. It's also written to all those that with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, then this letter is also written for you. So remember, this letter is for all of us, isn't it? Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the grace must precede the peace. I cannot experience the peace of God until I have experienced the grace of God. When I experience the grace of God in my life, God's unmerited favor, when I receive that God so loved me that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cruel cross for me, and I embrace that truth, then the grace of God is bestowed upon me, and then I have peace with God. I no longer fear death. I no longer fear judgment, because I understand that Jesus was judged in my place. And so I have the peace of God. I am not scared anymore. I am at peace. That's good news. Verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Everything we have comes by and through Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He built a bridge between a holy God and a sinful man in the form of a cross 2,000 years ago and paid the toll for us to cross the bridge. Amen? And so this grace that comes from God comes through Jesus Christ. And so he says, I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge. Much is all. It's all, isn't it? All utterance, all knowledge. I believe that the Bible contains the answer to every one of life's questions. The problem is just figuring out what the question is and where to find it. Amen? Some people don't even know what the question is. You ask them, you know, where are you going? Well, I don't know. Well, you got to know where you're going if you want to know how to get there, right? And so we see that by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, we have been enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The King James says, behind in no gift. Some of the other translations say, lacking in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we doing here today? Well, we're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But while we're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians that it is not God's will for you to come behind in any gift, that you are lacking in any gift while you're waiting for the coming of the Lord. What does that mean, Brother Roger? It means that God has bestowed upon each of us certain gifts. And God wants us to use those gifts because part of those gifts were given to us so that we could wait for the coming of the Lord. Amen? You see, the reason God gave the church gifts is because not all of us are the same. Some of us have weaknesses in certain areas. Some of us have fears where others don't have fears. Some of us have anxieties where others don't have anxieties. Some of us have great faith where others' faith are small. And so the reason for the gift is not for you, it's for the person next to you. And so God does not want you, as we are waiting for the coming of the Lord, He does not want you to be lacking in any of the gifts that He gave you, because the person next to you needs to be exhorted through the gift that you have. You hear what I'm saying? And so we have to ask ourselves, Lord, am I lacking in a gift before you come? Let's look at that verse again. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. There are going to be people waiting for the coming of the Lord who are going to be behind in their gift. What does that mean? Well, I kind of explained that. So what would that look like? To fall behind, to lack a gift that God wants you to use. I guess it would look like someone missing from a choir who has a gift to sing. Right? Take it down to the elementary grade level. Somebody who can spell better than anyone in the school, not in the spelling bee. Right? That wouldn't be me, by the way. My spell check is my best friend. Why would a person in elementary school who's the best speller in the school not be in the spelling bee? Fear, right. Fear. Fear of man. Jesus told the parable of the talents. He said that God, that this man, gave these people talents, and He told them to invest them. He gave some 10 and some 20 and yada yada. And each of them invested them to a certain level and got some back. But one guy who buried his, and when the master came back and asked for the interest on this money that he had given him, he didn't have any interest. He said, I knew that you were a hard taskmaster and I was afraid, and so I buried them, and here you go. And he was rebuked. And he said, you admitted yourself that you know I'm a hard taskmaster. You could have at least put it in the bank and let it get interest, but you just buried it because of fear. And they said, take what he has and give it to these other guys. And then something that's always troubled me, it says, and cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, if you understand that verse, that's typically associated with hell. Yeah. Right? Why is God tying gifts to the waiting of the coming of the Lord in this verse? You see, I think that I'm not saying that you're going to lose your salvation if you don't use a gift, but somehow things have a domino effect. When God gives me a gift and I don't use it, you know, eddies in water, it becomes stagnant if the current doesn't flow. And I may spiritually become stagnant if I am not using the gift that God has given me that could affect me in the future with my walk with Jesus Christ. And so Paul, the man of God, is speaking to the church, and he is saying that I don't want you to fall behind in any gift while you're waiting for the coming of the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? God has given you a gift. He wants you to use it. Ephesians 4:11, most of us can quote this. They call it the fivefold ministry gift, but most scholars have now realized that it's probably more like four. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Actually, in the Greek, that and there, that conjunction, is more of a combining, that the office of pastor is the office of pastor slash teacher. So it's really more like the fourfold ministry gifts. And as you know, I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. But at any rate, these are the ministry gifts. But these are not all the gifts. There's all kinds of gifts to the body of Christ. And God wants us to use our gifts. God wants us to be used. Because when I am used by God, then I become the conduit. How many of you guys have ever been used by God? How many of you ever just said, most of us have. Maybe you just said a word to someone and you didn't realize it at the time, but later they came back and said, you don't know what I was going through, but that's exactly what I needed to hear. And how does that make you feel? Oh, Lord, thank you that I could be used by God. My cousin's daughter, tremendously talented young lady, and she's actually has an album that was in the top 10 of the Southern Gospel music. And years ago when she was young, I was preaching and she heard me preach, and I said, if God gave you a gift, he expects you to use it for him. And at that point she was teetering between gospel and singing country music. And I didn't know it at the time. I just said it. I don't even know why I said it. It wasn't even about ministry gifts. But that was that one word that God used to redirect her life. And so we have to be ready and willing to let God use us as a conduit for gifts. Now God gives all kinds of gifts. There's too many to name and number. He gives spiritual knowledge, Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Aren't you glad that God can give us the gift of a heart to know him? Amen. You know, have you ever just sat and talked to one of these older saints that have walked with the Lord for years? I can remember, you know, my grandmother, the number one, they never get excited about anything. You know, I mean, as far as excited, I mean, no, I'm not saying they don't get excited about the Lord. I'm saying that they don't get wigged out like we do, right? I mean, they're just constant. They don't have valleys anymore. They don't always have great emotional highs either. They're just constant. They're as smooth as a sea of glass. And in the middle of storms of other people's lives, they're not shaken because they have walked with God and they know that he is faithful. They have a heart that knows the Lord. And when a person has a heart that knows the Lord, then that's what they look like. And you like to be around those kind of people. In fact, you love to be around those kind of people. And you just want them to just tell me the story of the time God did this. And you love to hear those stories of how God used them over the years. And you feel those little Holy Ghost goosebumps because they have a heart that knows God. That's a gift. God bestowed that upon them. And yet, God is no respecter of persons. You, too, can have a heart that knows God in a tremendous way if you seek the Lord. He said, I will be found of you. We can have that gift. Many gifts that God has for us are just like fruit on the vine up there for the taking, if we will just reach out and take it. God wants us to not fall behind. in any of the gifts while we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. You know, one of the things that God has promised us is an everlasting name. An everlasting name. Isaiah 56, verses 4 and 5, for thus says the Lord, unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, and they shall not be cut off. You know, this has kind of a twofold meaning. It doesn't necessarily mean your name is like never going to end. It means that your house is never going to end. It means that there will always be someone in your generation serving the Lord. Amen. It's called the remnant. Amen. And when I seek the Lord and when I reach out and grab the fruit that God has for me, the blessings that God has for me, and I seek to not fall behind in any of the gifts that God has for me, then I have this promise of this everlasting house of Roger, right? That not that my name is anything, but the house that God began. It's really began back with my grandmother, and that there will be a remnant through the lineage of me, through my kids or my grandkids, and that somebody will be serving the Lord. Somebody's still going to be preaching. Somebody's still going to be taking a stand. If the Lord tarries another 1,000 years, because I will not fall behind in the gift that God has for me, waiting for the coming of the Lord. One of the great gifts that God gave us is spiritual rest. Jesus, most of us can quote this, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is no reason for a child of God to have stress. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Amen? I'm too blessed to be... Now, did I say Christians don't get stressed? Of course we do. But we do it because we fail to reach up and take the fruit of the gift that God has given us off the vine. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Jesus broke the back of the devil. He destroyed the works of Satan. And in him we live and move and have our being. And we can find that solace, that rest in the shadow of the cross of Jesus Christ. It is there. God does not want us to fall behind in any of these gifts waiting for the coming of the Lord. Amen. And of course, Jesus paid the price for the gifts, but the bearer of the gifts comes by and through the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Luke 11:13, we read, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that, what? Ask, right? You have not because you ask not. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thy own special way. The Holy Spirit is waiting for you to invite him in. He is not an it. It is the third person of the Godhead. It is God manifested into the third person, the Holy Spirit, that is waiting to come into your life and change everything. You know, when I got saved, I was excited. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I began to understand things. You know, he will bring all things to your remembrance. He is the Spirit of truth. He will open your eyes to things that you thought you knew. And he will change the way you see the whole world. And he's waiting for you to ask him in. If your Father on earth can give good gifts, how much more can your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? Lord, just give each of us a fresh wind and fresh fire of your Holy Spirit right now, that we may not fall behind in any gift waiting for the coming of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Of course, one of the gifts that we tend to not think about that's a gift that we have now, is eternal life. Job 10:28, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them, John 10:28, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, eternal life does not begin when you die. Eternal life begins when you said yes to Jesus Christ. Amen? When you were born again, your new life in Christ began, and Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. Boy, I like that. That feels good. It's like shields up, right? The devil tries to bring those fiery darts against me. You can keep firing, but my shields are up. The hand of God is wrapped around me. And no man can pluck you out of my... You know what? That's a gift that Jesus gave us. Amen? And if I don't remember that gift, am I falling behind in that gift? If when the devil tries to attack me and I'm feeling like he's about to pluck me out of my hand and I don't remember that God said in his word that can't ever happen, that I am falling behind in that gift of God, waiting for the coming of the Lord. But that gift is my gift, and if I just reach up and take it like an apple off a tree, and when the devil comes against me, I can say, hey, devil, look, no man can pluck me out of his hand. I am secure in the hand of the man who stilled the water. I am secure in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. His hand opened blind eyes. His hand raised the dead and cast out demons and stilled the stormy flow of the waters. And he is holding me tightly and will keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Secure in the promises and the gifts of God, not falling behind waiting for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. A spiritual crown. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall come and cast some of you in prison. You may be tried, and you shall have tribulation for 10 days, but be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. A crown of life. You know, sometimes we see ourselves, and I know I'm guilty of it, maybe none of you guys are, is that we see ourselves weak. Now, obviously, we are weak physically. I mean, we're just flesh. We can't go out and stop a freight train like Superman. But at the same time, we are kings and priests, the Bible says, that we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. I don't know what that even looks like. I can imagine, but I really don't know what that looks like. But we are kings and priests, and we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We will have a crown. We are right now, we are ambassadors. Think of an ambassador. You know, remember when the embassy in Iran was overtaken and how those people back in 1979, those people were there and all the radical Muslims took them and, you know, and they got some of them out and they paraded the others and, you know, the whole thing, right? Well, we're that. We are, the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. We're here on this world, and the world does not know us. We are foreigners. We are our king is not in this world now. He is out there, and we are proclaiming the message that there is a new government coming. Now, boy, you say that in a third world country, and you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in jail, right? And you know, I there was a time in my life when I didn't understand why these communist countries hated churches. Well, what is it about them? I thought, is it just demonic that they just hate churches? No, because it's the same reason they killed Jesus. They are threatened that a king is about to usurp their authority. Now, see, that hasn't come to the United States because we have freedom of speech today, but we may not tomorrow, but the message is still the same. There is a king that is coming to this planet. He is not of this world. If he was, His disciples would have fought for him. But his kingdom is not of this world. But soon and very soon, his kingdom is coming to this world. The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Where there will be no more tears. There will be no more death. There will be no more famine. The lion will lay with the lamb. And a little child will lead them. And we will rule and reign with the King of Kings for 1,000 years on planet earth. God has promised you a crown. Do not fall behind on the things that God has given you, the gifts waiting for the coming of the Lord. Recognize who you are in Christ, and you will rule and reign with Him. Amen. Let's just thank Him for that right now. Father, we just praise You for that, that we are Your ambassadors, we are the sheep of Your pasture, and we will rule and reign with You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 8 again. Who, that's Jesus, who shall, will positively do this, confirm. That word confirm means establish the truth or correctness of something previously believed. You know, every one of us have doubts. Some of us more than others. If you say you don't have any doubts, you're a liar. You heard the story about the guy that walked across Niagara Falls on a rope, carrying the barrel, and then he walked back. He asked, how many people believe I can do it again? And some lady said, I do. And he said, well, jump in this barrel and I'll carry you across. She believed until her life was put on the line, and then her belief was tested, right? And so sometimes we say we believe, but, you know, how strong is our faith? Or what area is it that you have doubts in? But that he shall confirm means he will establish the truth or correctness of what you previously believed. In other words, something is going to change in these last days that's going to solidify your faith stronger than it's ever been. And you may think, you know, well, I wish I had his faith, or I wish I had her faith, or I wish I was bold as him, I wish I was bold as her, but, you know, God, you know, why did you give me so little faith, or why did you, you know, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you, and he will confirm what he has began in you. He will solidify it, that gift, as you are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Amen? He's going to do it. And so he will confirm you to the end. Amen. You know, he's not going to abandon you at 11:59 and say, okay, you're on your own from here, right? He's going to confirm it to the end. Blameless in the day of our Lord. Blameless. He will confirm it to the end that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth, things in heaven, and that you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now he's reconciled and in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Here Paul is telling the Colossians, if you just continue, God is going to keep what you began. What you committed to him that day you said, I believe, God is going to continue. He's going to take care of it. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're talking about God's ability to solidify, to establish, to strengthen, to keep what you've committed to him. How many are glad that God's able to keep what you've committed to him? How many of you guys know that in you dwells no good thing? I mean, if you're like me, you know that, Lord, I am fickle. Sometimes I say I'm going to do something and I don't. Sometimes I say I'm not going to do something and I do. Lord, I hate myself sometimes. That's what Paul said. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Wretched man, who's going to help me? Jesus is going to help me. He's able to keep that which I've committed to him. He's able to confirm it. He's able to hold on to it. And he will keep that which I've committed to him. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that word blameless, don't you? Blameless. Blameless. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace without spot and blameless. And then let's look at verse 9 one more time. We're getting ready to close. God is faithful. God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." Come on up, Nola. As we get ready to close, I want you to begin praying for the next few weeks and asking the Lord what your gifts are. We're going to look at spiritual gifts. We're going to look at gifts in general. You know, just the very gift of encouraging someone can go a million miles. The picking up the phone and calling someone, dropping them a letter, any of these things. But what we need is the body of Christ operating at 110% efficiency. Amen? We need everybody doing their part because we are close to the coming of the Lord. And the scripture says that you would not fall behind in any gift waiting for the Lord. That is the heart of the apostle. It is the heart of the man of God for us, his children, his disciples. And he's saying to us, I don't want you to fall behind in any gift. And so as we start this, I don't know if we're going to call it a series or whatever we're going to call it, as we start this thing, then join me in praying for God to open our eyes and show us what gifts that we have or that we may have or that we think we might have and how we can be used by God in this last day harvest. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, this morning we thank you that you love each of us individually. We are not all Peters, we are not all Jameses, we are not all Johns. Some of us, Lord, are Simon. Some of us are Bartholomew. Some of us are Thomas. But you love each of us the same. And it is not your will that we fall behind in any of these gifts, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Lord, it is your will that we be used by you, that we be the extension of your hands and your feet and your arms and your eyes and your tears and your love to a lost and dying world. So we pray, God, that you would search our heart this week and that you would show us, Lord, areas that we can serve, areas that we can be used by you. Not just in the church, but anywhere. And that, Lord, you'd give us boldness not to be afraid, not to bury our gift, but to invest it in your kingdom. For we will wear a crown, and we will rule with you very soon. In Jesus' name, amen.